Are you all right? Great. Good to see you. Welcome to worship and trust that the Lord will bless you during our worship here this morning. Today is one of our no open air days, but tea and coffee will be available following our worship in the community hall. This week, the Sallywags meet again after their little break on Monday. On Tuesday, in this hall at 2 p.m., there's a funeral service will be held for Trish Binge. That's at 2 o'clock in this hall. On Wednesday, Friends Together meet from 1:30 onwards. On Thursday, coffee morning, 10 till 12. There's no explorers for the young people this week. Friday is World Prayer Day of Prayer, and it's at St. Mary's Church, Walton, and that's at 2 o'clock. Now on Saturday, there's a choir called Felixstowe Harmonies, and they're going to bring a concert called Sing Into Spring, and they've hired this hall, church hall, for that. There's a lovely leaflet with all the details of how much it is to get in and what time. If you pick one up off the table, that would be appreciated. Next Sunday morning, it's the altar service, and looking on the table at the back, there's only going to be half of you bringing any altar service in. Please, 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 if you haven't picked up your envelope, it's on the table with your name on, and then next Sunday morning in our worship, we will have an opportunity to bring them forward. A little further on March the 16th at 1 o'clock, a celebration for the life of Major Margaret. And going even further to March the 21st, the band and songsters will be doing a devotion on Holy Week, and that starts at 7 o'clock, but I'll remind you of that during the next few weeks. This week, many of us went to the funeral service of Dennis Versey, and I have a message from Fiona, his daughter, and she says, please pass on our thanks for the prayers, the cards, and the messages of sympathy and support following Dad's promotion to glory. God bless you and thank you, Fiona and Neil. So thank you very much for doing that. Now I'm going to hand over to...
Good morning, everyone. Oh, good, you're feeling energetic today. We like that. Long may it last. It's good to welcome you in this place as we gather together to worship this morning. Before we continue, though, I am going to add one announcement, and it's this. I've got to make this announcement because I made a big deal of something a few months ago. And you'll remember that I was bemoaning the financial situation of the core, and we were concerned because, well, we were running a deficit. I've got some news to report. How am I going to put this? I forgot what I was going to say. So, we had budgeted a very large expenditure in gas and electricity. That's not come to be. We have received a large donation that we couldn't have budgeted for. Things have balanced out. And of course, and this is the most important thing because this is the point that I wanted to drive home. Thanks to your giving, to your continued efforts in financially supporting the core, we're now balancing income and expenditure. So thank you very much, everyone, for your hard work and your efforts. It doesn't finish today. It doesn't finish today. I encourage you to weekly, to monthly, continually look at your giving, assess your giving, and do as much as you can, really, in other words, to keep us going. But thank you very much for the efforts that you have made already. I'm super grateful, and I'm sure you are, because it means that we don't have to worry so much about some things. Yesterday, about 40 of us gathered here to walk through the Old Testament. And no, I'm not going to do the hand gestures. No, my air hostess ones. No, so basically it's a model that helps us understand how the Old Testament holds together as a whole. So if you've ever wondered, well, what on earth is the book of Job about? Or why is the book of Ruth so important? Well, then you might have kind of got a sense of that yesterday, because it really helpfully puts the Old Testament in chronological order. But not only that, it puts the Old Testament in its theological kind of running, so that we understand why it's all about. Because as Christians, we might say, well, why on earth do we have the Old Testament when we have Jesus? Well, yesterday gave us the answers to that. So at some stage over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to invite Paul back. And we'll do Paul Keyes, who led us yesterday. And we'll do walk through the New Testament. And then we'll keep that going, because it really helps us understand how things fit together. I spend a lot of time in the Bible, right? You won't be surprised to hear. But because I'm often kind of focused on the sermon for next week, or I'm focused on whatever kind of devotional reading I'm doing, or whatever kind of academic piece of work I'm working on, I forget the big picture. And yesterday, it just in 6 hours, just brought it all back together. And so for me, it was refreshing and it was encouraging. So a great day was had by all. Today's meeting is not a response to what we did yesterday, because I couldn't do that. But it's inspired really by yesterday's theme. And we're going to talk about the Bible. And we're going to talk about what the Bible means to the Salvationist. What the Bible means in the Salvation Army in particular. So I make no apologies for that from the onset. Right, he's speaking way too much. Shall we stand? Shall we stand and begin our song worship together? And I invite you to sing number 775 if you're following in your Salvation Army songbooks. Master, speak, thy servant heareth. Thank you. please take your seats? And Simon, could we return to that penultimate verse, please? And I wonder if we can read that together, and with the band as well, if we can just read this together. Master, speak, though least and lowest, let me not unhired depart. Master, speak, for all thou knowest all the yearning of my heart. Knowest all its truths. Speak and make me blessed indeed. And I don't know what needs that we come with this morning, but God has provided for them already. And he does so through his word. So I wonder if really from the very beginning of our worship we can just decide that this morning we're going to listen. We're going to hear. We're going to allow God to speak to us afresh this morning. I wonder if we can embrace that sense of expectation. Allow ourselves to be open. Allow ourselves to be surprised, perhaps, by what God has to say to us this morning. We continue with the next song. O God of love eternal, be present here, we pray. Accept the gift we offer this celebration day. Make of this place your temple. Let all who enter here be one with us in purpose, your love and joy to share. Let us join together in singing together.
Thank you.
prayer for our time here together today. Let us pray once again. Heavenly Father, we worship you and we adore you this morning. We thank you for your great love that you shower upon us. We thank you for your Son, who is the embodiment of that love, who came to earth to bear the punishment that was properly ours and to allow us to be in a restored relationship with you. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, who guides us as we strive to live in response to your love. We worship you and we adore you this morning, God. We think this morning, Lord, of those of our number that are not with us. There are almost too many to mention individually today, Lord. We pray for those who are ill, and we pray for healing and for strength. We pray for those who are struggling and perhaps doubting. And we pray, Lord, that you would encourage them and that we would find ways of encouraging them also. And we pray for those, Lord, who are taking a well-deserved break. And we pray, Lord, that they would be refreshed and renewed. We think of Ukraine this morning, where that conflict has reached, well, its third year, Lord. And we pray that thy will be done, and that we would have the wisdom to understand what that is, Lord. But we also think of the many conflicts that go undetected. Well, we think of Israel and Palestine, Lord. We pray for your people there, Lord. We pray that they would be faithful to your calling, to be a blessing upon others. When we think of those conflicts that go undetected, I think particularly of the east of the Democratic Republic of Congo. 10 million dead in about 25 years. And little interest here in the West. Lord, I know that those are people that depend on you, Lord, on both sides. And I pray that your love will win out. Lord, I thank you that we are gathered in this place this morning. I thank you, Lord, that we are one family. One kind of unusual, perhaps at times dysfunctional family, but family nonetheless. Because we are your children. Lord, and finally, I pray that you would speak to us each this morning, Lord, that you would speak to us afresh, that you would speak to us anew, that you would challenge us, renew us, refresh us, energize us, that you would be to us everything that you need us to be, everything that we need you to be this morning, Lord. Clear away any cynicism, Lord. Clear away any kind of sense of, oh, well, we've heard it all before. Open our hearts, open our minds to what you have to say to us so that we can leave this place better equipped to be your people in a world that greatly needs your hope. I make this prayer in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The songsters will now minister to us with a song called Know My Heart. Thank you, Songsters, for providing us with that moment of stillness and of reflection. Thank you very much. I almost feel like going home. We continue with our penultimate self-denial video, which today is going to take us to Uruguay. And it'll give us an idea here how the money we are called upon to give in self-denial next week is used with one of our mission partners.
Hello, and welcome to the fourth of our films for this year's Self-Denial Appeal.
Bueno, yo soy José Luis Ortuste, soy de nacionalidad boliviana, de Cochabamba, y estoy acá en Salto junto a mi esposa, Keila Rocha, y mi hijo de 6 años, Mateo Ortuste Rocha.
Entramos a la Escuela de Cadetes nosotros el 2019, ese año de la pandemia. Y bueno, de ahí salimos y bueno, estamos trabajando acá en Salto.
Lieutenants Jose and Kayla are from Bolivia. They trained as officers in Argentina, and Uruguay is their first appointment.
Hermana, buena, buen, auxilio.
Y Salto a mí me parece una ciudad increíble. Es pequeña, pero es muy cálida, la gente es muy amable, se siente mucho en familia.
There are significant differences in the countries that make up South America, but almost all celebrate Carnival. Uruguay is the most politically stable country in South America, but it's also expensive to live here. That's not a problem for people with decent jobs, but unemployment has been stubbornly high for years. So people who fall on hard times can get caught up in a cycle of poverty that's difficult to break out of. To support people who are struggling, the Salvation Army has been running food distribution programs. Every Friday, Jose heads to the shops to collect ingredients for a soup of love.
Gracias, nos vemos.
The food is all donated by local businesses, and in the afternoon, volunteers from the Corps get together to cook it up.
Esa comida que preparamos es con mucho amor, y los voluntarios que llegan a prepararlo dan de su tiempo, y ese, por ese lado es donde muestran el amor, y lo llamamos sopa de amor.
Pero vamos a orar, ¿sí?, para poder servir el alimento. Vamos a bendecir las manos que han sido preparadas, ¿sí?
Que tenemos esa actividad con la gente que realmente necesita, esa gente realmente que quizás no le alcanza para comprarse.
Amén. Bueno, pueden pasar ahí, decir sus porciones.
Y como yo no tengo cómo comprar, a mí el alimento a mí me ayuda bastante.
No tengo comida, no tengo trabajo, no tengo nada. Entonces, lo que ahora tengo por ahora es esto nomás. Es bravo, hay gente que está pasando peor todavía. Y yo estoy muy agradecida, la verdad que sí.
The team also have a well-established partnership with the local authority and give out food each weekday morning. And for the last few weeks, the Salvation Army have been helping some of Salto's other residents. The river, which separates Uruguay from Argentina, is prone to flooding. But a few weeks back, the water reached new highs. More than 3,000 people have had their homes flooded. The Salvation Army is providing food packages to support families in temporary accommodation. Jose and Kayla are well known here because of their weekly Bible class.
Hay escuelita, sí, mañana hay escuelita, así que vénganse mañana.
Sí,
vénganse mañana.
On Saturday morning, it's Bible Club.
Sábados nosotros nos dedicamos a la juventud prácticamente acá en Salto, que también con ellos es un precioso grupo que se hacen muchas actividades. La mayoría de los adolescentes que asisten vienen de familias desintegradas.
Bueno, prepárense para el saludo, ¿sí?
The work with young people has become more important because since the pandemic, the youth suicide rate has increased significantly.
Entonces, en este lugar ellos pueden encontrar amistad, amor, comprensión, y nosotros tratamos de darle esa atención para ellos con diferentes programas que hacemos.
Cuando nosotros estamos firmes en buena tierra, nosotros producimos fruto en nuestro tiempo.
Queremos que ellos sepan que su vida vale, que ellos son valiosos, que ellos pueden tener un futuro y que por más situaciones que pasen, ahí no acaba todo, sino que hay una esperanza para ellos.
As well as their work in the community, Jose and Kayla also run two Salvation Army Corps in the city.
Él es la vida. Él es la vida. Pero dice Jesús, yo he venido para que tengan vida. Y tengan en abundancia.
La gente que viene a las reuniones de Salto, realmente que son muy, muy amables, muy atentos y muy servicial. Me siento muy contento a poder llevar a la par este dos nombramientos. A pesar que es cansador, yo decidí ser un oficial porque realmente comprendí el mensaje de Jesucristo, que nos encomienda una misión, la gran comisión que nos dice de predicar el Evangelio.
Para mí el éxito es cuando veo a las personas sonreír, a los niños, a las personas adultas, a la gente que viene a recoger su comida y una sonrisa. Creo que para mí ya ese es el éxito.
Next week is the last of the films in this series. I'm looking forward to seeing you then.
A good example of good, solid Salvation Army work. A big pot of soup, a pile of clothes, sharing God's love with others. And a lovely example. And we continue to do that here, don't we? And this week we begin a new initiative. A few months ago I was approached by this lady here, sat on the third row, Anne Willett, who works at the job centre down Hamilton Road. And she said, Paul, I really feel that someone should start a job club to support people back into work. So over the last few months, Anne and I have been back and forth on emails, putting plans together. Anne's a force of nature, and she knows how to convince people to do what she wants them to do. And we've got this real great, fantastic lineup of people who are going to be gathering here on a Wednesday morning. And the idea is this, that we're going to start this job club, and people are going to come in and they're going to be supported with their CV writing skills, their job applications, perhaps some IT things, some hard skills that you need to get back in employment. And Anne has got a wonderful array of people on board to help us do that. People that have got up-to-date skills in employment. But what I'm really interested in achieving is that this kind of Wednesday morning slot, 10 to 12 o'clock, becomes a beautiful kind of little community where people kind of support and encourage each other as they seek to get back into work. Because it's one thing someone saying to you, oh yeah, you should sort the spelling out on your CV, or you should sell this part of your career better to help you find work. That's one thing. But it's another when someone that's in the same situation goes to you, come on, let's do this. I know I'm a bit discouraged, but we can do this together and we can kind of get back into work and we can move towards living a more productive life. So that starts this week. John and Angela are going to be there. They are going to be the friendly face of the Salvation Army. And we appreciate you for your time in doing that. They're going to be doing what the Salvation Army does best. Putting the kettle on. Making a cup of tea. And being ready to listen to whoever and whatever often is the case. So what can you do? Well, can you pray for this? Pray for this new initiative. Pray for everything that we do. Pray that lives would be transformed. That lives would be renewed. Perhaps even be so daring as to pray that people might meet Jesus. Let's him do that. So here's the challenge. Wednesday morning, 10 o'clock, set your alarms on your phones and fire a quick prayer at that point and pray that it would be a productive but also a glorious time. Shall we pray about that now before we move on to listening to the band? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you invite us to join in your work of restoration. Lord, you're making all things new. That's what your word says. And we recognize that that means each and every one of us, Lord. And this morning we think particularly of those who are without work. And I think with that comes a lack of hope, perhaps, a lack of purpose, probably financial struggles, Lord, and if I'm honest, that doesn't sound like life. So, Lord, I pray that you would bless our endeavours, Lord. That we might see lives changed and transformed. And that through that, perhaps, people would get a taste of what it is that you want for them. Life. And life in all its abundance, as we just heard from our friend over in Uruguay. Lord, bless the job club and bless those who are going to be taking part of it. And Lord, I also pray and ask for your blessing upon the job centre down the road who work tirelessly to ensure that people are on the right track, Lord. Be with us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We listen now to the ministry from the band who are going to bring to us a piece called All for Thee. Take my life and let it be wholly consecrated to thee. There's another prayer. We're going to take up the offering now, and as we do so, the worship band are going to lead us in the singing of Strength Will Rise as we wait upon the Lord. So I invite you to stand as we sing and give in worship this morning.
As we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever, our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the
from the top again.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer.
I feel we need like at least another chorus of that one. I don't know why. Maybe we need to review our arrangement. Go, go, go. Yeah. Angela, sorry, I've interrupted your drink, but it's time for the Bible reading.
Thank you. Morning. Our reading this morning is from 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 to 17. 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 to 17. And it's entitled, A Final Charge to Timothy. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet, Lord, rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through the faith in Christ Jesus. All Scriptures in God breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Thank you, Angela. So just here, I want to carry out just a very, very quick survey, just off the top of your head. What kind of everyday sayings can you think of that originate in the Bible? What are everyday things that we say that find their origin in the Bible? Shout them out. God bless you. Yeah, I suppose we could say that. Any direct quotes? The writing is on the wall. Okay. Thank you, Claire. Anything else? Anything else? This is a hard question, so I came across a website just in preparation for today, and it gave 85 examples of everyday speech, of everyday common day parlance that we use that comes from the Bible. How the mighty have fallen, used to describe a person who was once great in stature. And that comes from 2 Samuel chapter 1 verse 25. And it refers to Jonathan slain in battle. Put your house in order. You know, meaning resolving personal problems. That comes from 2 Kings chapter 20 verse 1. The writing is on the wall. Imminent peril. Daniel chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. The kiss of death. You know, the betrayal of Jesus, and we use it in terms of actions that are certain to cause destruction. And we often use it ironically, don't we? But of course, we find those words in Matthew chapter 26. O ye of little faith. A rebuff of someone's pessimistic attitude, usually used in jest as well, when we find that saying in Luke chapter 12, verse 28. Even though the Bible's influence in society is waning, it has certainly left its mark on our culture. But for us Christians, for us salvationists, the Bible is the absolute foundation of our living. And the Salvation Army's first doctrine puts it this way. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testament were given by inspiration of God, and that they only constitute the divine rule of Christian faith and practice. And this is our first doctrine, I believe, because it's the foundation on which the remainder of our doctrines are built. It's not because it's the most important. It's because the Bible, the scriptures of the Old and New Testament, are foundational to who we are. But my attention in preparing for this week was particularly drawn to that idea of divine rule of Christian faith and practice. The Bible has been given to us so that we can know how to live. The Bible is given to us so that we can know God and how to respond to him. If you want to know how to live in response to God, you read the Bible. Today's sermon is not going to be expository. I'm not going to go on about the text a great deal, but I just simply want to highlight the parallel between the doctrine that I've just quoted. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testament were given by inspiration of God, and that they only constitute the divine rule of Christian faith and practice. And I want to just show how much they highlight a verse from what we've just read. 2 Timothy 3, chapter 16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed, inspired. Inspire, expire, breathe in, breathe out. All scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And to me, that sounds like Christian faith in practice. So that the servants of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The scriptures are breathed by God. The scriptures are inspired by God. The scriptures are given by God so that we might know how to live. The scriptures of the Old and New Testament, the Bible, have a direct impact, or rather, perhaps, they ought to have a direct impact on how we lead our lives. But that's not just all. It's not just a kind of a good interest in manual. It's not just do this and you will bless. The whole point is that we might grow in righteousness, so that we might live in holiness, so that we might grow in Christ likeness. The Bible takes life in how you and I live it out. So what does that look like for each and every one of us? How should we then approach the Bible? How should we use it in our daily lives? Well, the first thing I want to suggest is this. Firstly, as salvationists specifically and as Christians generally, we read the Bible as scripture. We read the Bible as scripture. So we could, and indeed we can, read the Bible as history, and we can appreciate the insight it gives us into ancient civilizations. We could also read it as literature, and enjoy the beauty of the poetry and the prose, and indeed we do. But salvationists, Christians, primarily read the Bible as scripture. So what does that mean, reading the Bible as scripture? Well, fundamentally, it means that we believe that through the pages of the Bible, God speaks to us. And we mustn't forget, of course, because, and this is where the complication is in the Bible, that we're dealing here with an ancient text. We're dealing with a text that was written somewhere between 8,000 years ago and 2,000 years ago. This is an ancient text, so it must be handled with care. But when handled with care, we believe that it addresses our 21st century context. But more than simply speak to us, we also believe that God reveals himself to us through the Bible as it bears witness to the coming, to the death, and to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We believe that the Bible is scripture because God reveals himself to us through its pages. Secondly, we can pray the scriptures. We can pray the scriptures. We are, of course, most of us, I think, familiar with the Lord's Prayer, which finds its origins in the words of Jesus, recorded in Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 11. And we may also use words from Numbers chapter 6 to bless others. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And often in our worship together, we end with words from the New Testament that send us on our way with the assurance of God's ongoing presence with us. But one of the great beauties of the Bible is that it offers us the words to pray when we can't find them ourselves. And how often have you prayed the Lord's Prayer when you didn't know what else to pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, I don't have a clue what I ought to pray right now, but I'm going to rely on this ancient wisdom. And of course, the Psalms is perhaps the greatest repository of prayers within the Bible. And they give us the words when we can't find them for ourselves. Particularly in times of despair, when we wonder where God is. And also in times of great rejoicing, when we feel that we can accomplish everything on our own. The Bible, the Psalms, give us the words that we need to pray. And here's a wonderful quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And we know him, of course, as a theologian and pastor between the First and Second World War. Died at the hands of the Nazi regime because he stood up for faithfulness to Christ rather than for a melding of church and state, or of state ideology and church. And this is what Dietrich Bonhoeffer has to say to us. The richness, listen to me, the richness of the Word of God ought to determine our prayer, not the poverty of our heart. So when we're lost for words, when we've lost hope, when we can't trust anymore, when we don't know what to pray, the richness of the Bible provides for us. Be strong and courageous. The Bible prays for us. Rejoice always. The Bible gives us the words to pray when we cannot find the words ourselves. So the Scriptures can and ought to be the source of our prayers, because I think that's what Dietrich Bonhoeffer is saying. He's saying our prayers are never going to do the job. Our prayers are always going to be weaker than those that we find within the pages of the Bible. The Scriptures of the Old and New Testament, the Bible, can and ought to be the source of our prayer. Third, the Salvation Army. In the Salvation Army, and salvationists are committed to scriptural preaching. We are committed to scriptural preaching. And I think that preaching these days has a bad reputation. We often hear people say, "I don't preach at me." And I think what they're saying is, "Don't you dare criticize me." And I think it's simply the fact that we're so easily distracted. We're not used to sitting down and listening to some bloke or woman drone on for 15 minutes, irrespective of how interesting it might be. We're not used to sitting down and listening. And perhaps there's also a little bit of cynicism that draws in of, "Heard it all before. I've said that. And I've learnt to be wiser." Because the whole point of preaching is to make these ancient texts, understandable today in our 21st century context here in Suffolk. That's the whole point of preaching, is to make sense of these ancient texts in which God reveals himself to us, in which God speaks to us. That's the point of preaching, is to make them understandable, relatable, comprehensible to this contemporary audience. So of course, this engages the preacher's responsibility. And I try my best. But it also calls upon the congregation to be open and available to the message. And that's why we started where we started today. Let's enter these gates on a Sunday morning at 10:30. Open, available, willing to hear something new. Willing to be challenged. Biblical preaching is important for people who want to understand as well as put into practice what it means to follow Christ in their everyday lives. Fourth and finally, we are called to perform the scriptures. We are called to perform the scriptures. And this is what Gregory Jones writes. With Christ as our true teacher, we are called to become people of character, a holy people who perform the scriptures wisely and faithfully so that God may be at home in our midst. Now, some might question the word perform here because to mind it might kind of bring a sense of inauthenticity. Might bring a sense of inauthenticity. Oh, he's performing. He's putting on a show. And to others, that word perform might sound a little bit like showing off. But it's important. That word perform is important because the scriptures call us to live them out. And the world is watching. So in that sense, the scriptures are to be performed. The scriptures call us to live differently. The world is watching. Therefore, it is a performance. So a wise and faithful performance of the band of the Bible. A wise and faithful performance of the band would be good as well, maybe. Sorry. A wise and faithful performance of the Bible will make God's saving grace visible in our world. That's our calling. To embody the Bible. To act out the Bible in such a way that God's saving grace is visible to a world that is watching us. And it's increasingly wondering, well, what on earth are these people about? So an intentional performance of the Bible is an outworking of our quest for holiness. So, to conclude, as salvationist Christians, we believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments were given by inspiration of God, and that they only constitute the divine rule of Christian faith and practice. So today we have seen that this means four things. The Bible is to be read as scripture because it reveals God to us. Secondly, the Bible can be a source of prayer for us when we can't find the words for ourselves. Thirdly, the preaching of the Bible is important because it shapes and forms our being and our living. And fourthly, we perform the Bible before the world, so that God may be seen. And this is the crux of the matter. And this is where we're going to end. The Bible gives us the means to lead lives that are holy. Lives that are set apart. And that are pleasing to God. Yesterday, at the end of our day with Walk Through the Bible and with Paul Keyes, and it was a brilliant day, an encouraging day. And we were given a little card to complete. You know, because they like feedback, don't they, when they present things like that. And we were invited to give our feedback. But we were also invited to make a commitment. And, you know, so for some it might have been, oh, I found Jesus today and I've received his salvation. I don't think there was many of those among us today, yesterday. But one of them was, I'm going to commit to reading the Bible daily for the next 40 days. And I wonder if that's a challenge that we could all rise to. Whether over the next 40 days we could all say, well, tell you what, I'm going to prioritise getting my Bible out. And I'm going to allow God to speak to me anew and afresh. What would that mean for each and every one of us? What transformation would be wrought? What change would be carried out? What life would be lived abundantly? Because we've committed to listening to God's word, listening to God's voice through his word with an open heart, with an open mind, and with an open soul. Something for us to think about. And as we do so, I invite you to join with me in singing, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. And look at the next bit. Break me, melt me, mould me, fill me. Let's commit once again to turning to the Word, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, allowing it to change and transform us into the people that God wants us to be. I'm not going to pray at this point, but I'm going to invite you to make your own prayer right now, perhaps a prayer of commitment, and then we'll join together and sing this chorus once again, this simple song once again. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing our last song together. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King. God, and we'll sing the fourth and final verse together. Good words to end with. And just a words of blessing to you as we depart this place. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. May that be true for you. May you find delight in his commands. Amen.